In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I saw a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and in the sight of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God who sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. Let us all rejoice in the Lord, we pray, in today's introit, celebrating a festival day in honor of all the saints at whose solemnity the angels rejoice and give praise to the Son of God. Yes, dear faithful, let us rejoice today in our God, for today is a feast that should resound particularly with each one of us. Today is a feast of hope, for today is the feast of all the saints. Yesterday, at First Vespers, we prayed to the whole heavenly court. O ye angels and archangels, thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, virtues of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, ye patriarchs and prophets, holy doctors of the law, apostles, all martyrs of Christ, holy confessors, virgins of the Lord, hermits and all the saints, intercede for us. We invoked all of the different saints, each of the glorious stars shining by their holiness in the celestial court of God. And there are many reasons that should fill us this day on this feast with joy and hope. First of all, we all know the value of a good friend. A good friend is there for us through good times and especially through bad. A good friend always wants and does what is best for us and helps to protect us from what can harm us. A good friend listens to us, has compassion on our sufferings, gives us advice when we need it, and also will not hesitate to kindly set us right if we are in the wrong. These are just some of the benefits of a good friend, a friend here on earth. Yet, as we know, no friend here below is perfect. They can still fail in their friendship, give us bad advice, not be there for us when we need them, and even, of course, turn their back on us and on the friendship. Yet this possibility does not deter us and should not deter us from forming friendships and seeking them out. And so, if we do this with men of the earth who are still imperfect and capable of hurting us, should we not then seek to cultivate friendships with our heavenly companions, the saints? The saints look upon the face of God. They have reached their perfection. They are incapable of performing evil. Their wills are immovably yet freely fixed in God, our eternal good. They cannot and will not, therefore, ever betray us, ever give us bad advice, ever do anything at all to hinder us from our goal of heaven. The saints are our best friends. This is the first reason that our hope is strengthened and comforted today, the friendship and intercession of our heavenly patrons. Let us go often to them in prayer, daily, even hourly, asking for their help, their guidance, their protection, their intercession. The next reason that our hope should be comforted by the glory of the saints that we celebrate today is mentioned in the Collect. Almighty and everlasting God, we pray, who has granted to honor in one solemn feast the merits of all thy saints, we beseech thee, through the multitude of intercessors, thou wouldst bestow upon us the desired abundance of thy atonement. God has given us a multitude of intercessors of every shape and size, of all nations and tribes, peoples and tongues, we read in the epistle taken from the book of the Apocalypse. And because of the sheer number of the saints, it's not possible for us to develop a devotion, a particular devotion, to each and every one. We should, of course, venerate all saints in general, and that's what we do today, specifically venerating those saints who do not have a feast day or perhaps have not been canonized by the church but are certainly in heaven. That's the vast majority of the souls in heaven. And today we honor them. But it is not possible to venerate all of them. And so we should work on developing our devotion to a certain number of particular heavenly intercessors, Just like with all men, we should have goodwill towards all men, but it is not possible to have friendships with all. The Blessed Virgin, of course, and St. Joseph should be venerated by all of us because she is the Mother of God, the Immaculate Conception, above all the saints, the Queen of the angels and the saints. And St. Joseph, because he had the singular privilege of taking the place of the Heavenly Father here on earth. We should then also focus on those special patrons that God has given us through our baptismal or confirmation name, the day on which we were born, and those for whom we have felt a certain call to venerate or imitate. And I would say even that the providence of God has given you. And so as you are here worshiping Almighty God in this oratory confided to the Institute of Christ the King, you should develop a particular friendship with our patron saints. Of course, who are St. Benedict, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Francis de Sales, and St. Thérèse of Lisieux. There are also the saints who we invoke occasionally for a particular need. Some favorites, of course, are St. Anthony for lost items, St. Rita, and St. Jude for impossible cases, St. Christopher, St. Raphael when we travel. There are many others who we should get to know, for not only can they help us in our needs, a material or earthly need, but also they can intercede for us and obtain for us spiritual graces and teach us how to accept the trials that God permits to come upon us. Thus, for example, if during the coming winter season of colds you find yourself battling a cough, ask St. Quentin for his intercession. This holy patron was tortured by having a concoction of lime, vinegar, and mustard, caustic, poured down his throat, and if your cough does not go away, he will surely obtain for you the grace of patience in your ill health. St. Apollonia is the one to invoke in times of toothaches or impending visits to the dentist because, as you may have already guessed, she was tortured during her martyrdom by having all of her teeth ripped out. For all of the mothers out there, St. Clotilde is the patroness of disappointing children. If you think you have it bad, read her story. After the great St. Clotilde helped lead her husband, King Clovis, to the Catholic faith, thus bringing along the eldest daughter of the church, the nation of France. After she had done this and her husband passed away, her sons fought endlessly, divided the kingdom, and massacred their own relatives, including some of her grandchildren. Young people and students, feel free to invoke St. Vitus, the patron saint of oversleeping. I may have to invoke him as well. And if you have a doubt on who to ask for a particular need, there's always the glorious St. Catherine of Alexandria, that virgin and martyr who is the patron saint, among other things, of apologists, potters, spinners, archivists, dying people, along with St. Joseph, educators, girls, jurists, knife sharpeners, lawyers, librarians, libraries, maidens, mechanics, millers, hat makers, nurses, philosophers, preachers, scholars, school children, scribes, secretaries, spinsters, stenographers, students, tanners, theologians, haberdashers, wheelwrights, and if that is not enough, the University of Paris, Philippines, and Greece. She has her work cut out for her. And of course, all this brings me to the last reason for our joy of today. All of these saints, out of every tribe, nation, out of every language and tongue, were people just like you and me. Well, at least they started just like you and me. Normal beings in need of redemption and grace that only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, brings. They were called, like all men, like you and I, and like all of the elect, the glorious saints that we celebrate, they said yes. They said yes once, they said yes every day, again and again. They cooperated with God's grace and are the glory of His church. And it is good for us to consider, too, that even though our relationship with them is perhaps a little less natural than that of a friend who is physically here next to us, yet they live truly more than you and I. We, here below, our life will be over. We will stand before God in judgment after we pass by the way of death. But the saints in heaven truly live. They are truly alive. And this is the path that we are called to, all called to, the path of sanctity. And this path is one that is long, arduous, requires sacrifice, penance, yes, but it is also a path that is possible and is a path of peace. For God is all-powerful and all-good, and he desires that we desire holiness. And so let us pray daily to our holy intercessors, our best friends, the saints. Let us read their lives. When was the last time you read the life of a saint, even if it was a short summary? Meditate upon them. Desire to imitate their holiness. For as the Catholic poet Charles Piggy said, life holds only one tragedy, ultimately, not to have been a saint. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.